You're listening to an iHeart podcast.
Hi, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. On this week's episode of Math and Magic, I'm sitting down with the one and only Bobby Bones. We're exploring the power of audio.
Yeah, I don't fit into one specific hole. I think that is what endeared me to listeners. That's why I'm here now, because I talk to people that grew up like me, have sensibilities like me, and have loyalties like me.
Listen to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency. It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on an amazing Monday. It's been so much. If you just joined us, I didn't even have to tell you everything that you missed. All kinds of stuff. The first hour did Medal of Honor Monday. We just did a bunch of history. If you missed any part of that, you're going to have to go download the podcast of the show. This hour, we're going to be discussing this cyber attack on Elon Musk, really on America. We'll talk about that. We're going to talk about the civil war inside the Democrat Party. We're going to talk about the Trump administration's efforts to get mass deportation underway and your frustrations with that. All that, emails, what's going on in Syria. There's still a lot to get to on the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's first begin here, and I didn't really touch on it in the beginning, and I'm still not even sure I want to touch on it now, but it seems to be on a lot of people's minds, so I'll say it. Whenever Elon Musk, because he's the wealthiest, one of the most powerful men in the world, definitely the wealthiest in the world, whenever he says something, anything, it's going to get a reaction out of people. And that's one of those weird things about life, is so much of it depends on the size of your platform, right? I can come on here and I can say, I love eggs. And I do. I love eggs. They're just delicious. The scramble that was supposed to be in omelet this morning was amazing. Anyway, I can say I love eggs. And is that going to prompt some people to maybe crave some eggs, maybe even go buy some eggs tonight? Maybe even a tiny, teeny, tiny uptick in the egg market. Yeah, probably. But nothing huge, I wouldn't say. If Elon Musk comes out and he says everybody should eat eggs for dinner tonight and at least once a week, he can undoubtedly improve the egg market. It would just be a matter of how much. People would go by. It's a weird part about life. The bigger the platform, the more influence you have. So here's what happened today, and I'll explain why I didn't address it in the beginning and why I'm really not going to talk about it much now. You know, Elon Musk bought Twitter, one of the largest social media platforms. He changed the name to X, which is just weird because everyone knew it as Twitter. Whatever. He bought Twitter, called it X now. It went down, apparently. I don't know. I wasn't around. It went down for a long time this morning. It crashed. People couldn't post on there. Something was wrong. We then learned that there was a cyber attack on it. And from what I understand from people who I trust, it had to be a large one. Meaning, one of my sons is really good at computers and coding, and like he's really learning that world. And he's sharp. He's very sharp at it. He couldn't do that. It's too big. Something like that is too big, too well protected by all kinds of different things. Even with all his know-how, he doesn't have the ability to crash some gigantic social media site worth multi-billions of dollars. He doesn't have that ability. I talked to people who would know, and they did, all of them. I talked to three different guys. Every single one of them said this: whoever did it is well-funded and significant. None of the three would opine whether or not it was a state actor. They all three said, I can't tell you whether or not it was a nation state that did it, but if it wasn't, it was somebody with significant financial backing. So what happened today, even though it may not matter to you, especially if you don't have an account or like me wasn't even on there, what happened today was something, and it was something that was done by someone. Elon Musk went out on the news, and Elon Musk said this was a huge cyber attack, just like I said, and he said they traced the IP address of it, and it originated in Ukraine. Now, that has, that sentence alone, it was like a 5-second soundbite, I think. But that has people running around like chickens with their heads cut off of, is Ukraine attacking us? And all my tech guys, all my cyber guys said this to me, every single one of them. Yeah, it could be Ukraine. Also, there's nothing easier to spoof than the location of wherever your attack happens to be. They said, Jesse, could be, could not be. I don't have any idea who did it. That's why I didn't open the show talking about it. That's why I'm reluctantly even bringing it up now. Look, if Russia is attacking our big social media, well, our social media, I don't even know what you want to call it, platform run by Elon Musk, that's a big deal. If Ukraine is attacking our social media platform, that's a big deal. If CIA through Ukraine is attacking us, that's a big deal. If the EU, you know how crossways we are with them right now, if EU is attacking our social media platform, it's a big deal. If a nation state is attacking our social media platform, a big one, it is a big deal. The reason I'm not going to sit here and rant about it being the Ukrainians is I don't know yet. And that's why I don't try to be first. And that's why I'm not a journalist. And that's why I don't run to the microphone every time a plane crashes or there's a mass shooting. I don't do it. We'll figure it out when we figure it out. Now, have you ever watched nature shows? This is gonna come to the Democrat Party. You remember last week I was talking about one of the things that is really, really crushing the Democrat Party right now is Nancy Pelosi is old and weak. And they are being crushed. Trump posted up something today, 57% approval ratings. Democrats continue to go lower. In the wake of the State of the Union, their approval, the approval of the country of Democrat Party politics is such a disaster. Van Jones is on the television set saying, gosh, we suck.
Look, man, we're screwed. I mean, no Democrats don't know what to do. This is a nightmare. The Democratic Party is going through a massive set of internal crises. You have a party that got trapped two ways. One, defending a broken status quo that nobody likes because they thought that Donald Trump was going to make it worse. But when you're defending a status quo, you're going to lose. And then offending most people in the country, calling everybody sexist and racist and transphobic and every other name, and then saying, please follow us. That's not a good strategy, folks. Defending a broken status quo and offending most of the country, turns out, is not as popular as my party thought it was going to be.
That's Van Jones snickering on the television about how much trouble Democrats are in. And as I said last week, a lot of that is because Queen Bee is old and weak now. Nancy Pelosi, as much as you hate her, as much as I hate her, she ruled over Washington, D.C. Democrats with an iron fist for years, constantly threatening and following through on threats to primary people, ruling the committee process. You know, they're always trying to get on committees, ruling that with an iron fist. You're gone. You're on there. Yeah, you're right, Chris. She held off Trump's impeachment for 2 years by herself. They were trying to impeach him, and Pelosi said, that's a mistake. It's a political mistake. No, sit down and shut up. Nancy Pelosi ruled for years. But Father Time, being who he is, came for old Grandma Vodka like he always does for all of us, and eventually she just didn't have the stamina. She didn't have what it took to keep that group of freaks in line anymore, and so she stepped down and said to Hakeem Jeffries, who's a prolific fundraiser, that's why he got it, hey, Hakeem, the party is yours. Knock yourself out. back to what I was saying. Have you ever watched those nature videos? They're wonderful. And they're the worst drama, the most drama you can see on TV. It's not with whatever dumb reality show you're listening to. It's with nature shows. Lions. You know, one male lion heads the pack, heads the pride, if you will. That one male lion has a responsibility to protect the pride. He also gets the privilege of mating with all the females, of course, but he has a responsibility to protect the pride. And they will be challenged for that. See, it's the strongest who gets to protect the pride. And a young male will always come along because father time comes for lions too. Doesn't matter how many years the older lion has run the pride. Doesn't matter how many years he's fought off the younger ones. Doesn't matter how many times he's saved the pride from disaster. Eventually, a younger, stronger male lion will come along when the old lion is just too broken down and used up. He will challenge him and he will defeat him. And the male lion, it's always gotten to me. I don't know, maybe it's because I'm getting old. Maybe I'm projecting myself onto it. It's always saddened me, that moment after the male lion loses and you see him walking away and it's over. Something's about to happen to Nancy Pelosi, and man, the old lion is really done, isn't she? Talk about that. Before we talk about that, I need to talk to you about getting the right people in place. You see what the Trump administration's doing the second time. Why didn't they fire anybody the first time? And why are they firing everyone they can get their hands on this time? Because they understand full well personnel is policy. You know this. You run your business or you manage your business. It's all about the people you have, right? The right people and life gets a lot easier. The wrong people, doesn't matter what you do, you can't save it. The right people are on ZipRecruiter, waiting for you to go post through your listing. They're waiting for you. It's the hiring site employers prefer the most because that's where all the employees are. And I'm not telling you to hold out. Hey, just hold out for a year. You'll find somebody. 80% find somebody good on the first day. You find somebody during the commercial break and you can try it free. ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse lets you try it for free. Go get your next employee. ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
You're listening to The Oracle.
You're going to love this one. It's a scream, baby.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Monday. Remember, if you want to email the show, you can, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. If you missed the history part of the show or Medal of Honor Monday, you can download it all on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Just don't forget to subscribe and leave a review talking about how handsome I am. For years, Nancy Pelosi kept the animals in her party at bay. And now the old lion is broken down, drunk, dentures are falling out, and she can't do it anymore. Not only has she stepped down from her place in leadership, we now find out Nancy Pelosi has herself a challenger on her hands. Let's pause on that before we get to the actual name of the challenger. You remember the story about AOC? One you know by now. AOC, how'd she get into Congress? I told you last week, she was actually auditioning for it. She's an actress, a dancer. It's what she does. She auditioned for it. This radical group called the Justice Democrats, they liked what they saw, signed her up, and they ran her against an incumbent Democrat in New York City. AOC beats him in a primary. She wins from the far left. Well, someone who aided her in that battle and then chose to be her chief of staff is someone whose name I can't pronounce. Saikat Chakrabarty. That's about as close. What, Chris? It's not a, I don't know. It's Italian or something. I don't know. Saikat Chakrabarty. You don't know who this person is, and don't worry. It's not important, but he was AOC's chief of staff. Now, going to provide a primary challenger a for real primary challenger to Nancy Pelosi. And before you dismiss this, you should know he got rich. He got rich, surprise, surprise, on all kinds of Silicon Valley stuff. You know, the system takes care of its own, right from this chief of staff into this millionaire job. So he got rich. He is far left, as you can imagine. And if you're to believe what they're writing, he's working very hard and he's dead serious about bouncing Nancy Pelosi out of the Democrat Party. This shows two big things. First, the old lion, as I said, man, when's the last time you remember a significant primary challenge? That's a step almost nobody would take, especially in the land where she rules like the God Empress. Challenging her right in her backyard shows how weak Nancy Pelosi has become. And two, it shows how unbelievably lost and how divided Democrats are. And look, that's a good thing for if you're a Republican and you're somebody who roots hard for Republicans, that's a good thing because today, what happened with the stock market? You know, the tariff stuff has a real chance at making Republicanism unpopular, whether it be short term or midterm. So if you're worried about the midterm elections, and we always should be, well, that's something we always have to keep our eye on. Well, which party's more popular? Which party's more popular? The GOP popularity will go down. If it's not already, it will go down some. But we sure can hang our hats right now on the fact Democrats are lost. You have the Nancy Pelosi, James Carville types who understand the coalition must be expanded, who understand we can't talk down to everyone. Van Jones even kind of brought it up in this sound.
Look, man, we're screwed. I mean, we don't know. No, Democrats don't know what to do. This is a nightmare. The Democratic Party is going through a massive set of internal crises. You have a party that got trapped two ways. One, defending a broken status quo that nobody likes because...
I'm going to focus on that real quickly here. What's one of those status quo items that nobody likes? I guarantee you, if you pull Nancy Pelosi into a room and hook her up to a lie detector test, not the camera stuff, but if you were to ask her about opening up the border on purpose, which Joe Biden did, Nancy Pelosi would tell you through her drunken stupor that it was the dumbest political move she's ever seen in her entire life. I bet you money Nancy Pelosi has thrown binders at people and screamed at people behind the scenes that opening up the border when you have all the power and then you just nakedly open up the border is one of the dumbest political things she's ever seen in her life. It's not that Nancy Pelosi loves the country. That woman doesn't give a crap about left, right, America, anything like that. That woman cares about her. But she would be smart enough to know, guys, this is stupid. What kind of a left-wing moron is running the party? How do you think it makes us look that they keep raping American college girls and we're consenting to it, you morons? I can actually hear her screaming at them. The Nancy Pelosi types know that kind of destructive, despicable insanity is indefensible. Indefensible. And yet Democrat after Democrat after Democrat under Joe Biden had to go out and defend it, had to do the best they could to put a smiling face on it. And the argument, the divide is between the Nancy Pelosi's, the older Democrats who know it's indefensible, and the younger, very loud ones who are taking over now that the old lion is sick.
It is not a criminal violation to enter the country illegally. It's not a criminal. It's a crime. It's not a crime, which is why they're so frustrated.
As I've said before, please, Lord, I know I don't deserve anything good. And you've blessed me so much, and I don't deserve any of it. If I could ask for one more thing, could you please let Jasmine Crockett keep doing interviews every single day until the midterms, please. Also, let me ask you, have you switched your cell phone? Speaking of values, where are yours? Where are you at on all this higher American stuff? Do you believe in that? Is that something that you make a priority in your life? I do. I'm sad to admit I was not always this way. I used to not care. Oh, who cares? It matters a lot. Pure Talk was hiring American before hiring American got cool again. I see now it's on the news stories. Oh, look at this company. They hire Americans. Look at this company. They hire Americans. But Pure Talk was already doing that. Pure Talk always made that a priority. An American company run by an American veteran for American jobs. You get the same great 5G network. You're not sacrificing coverage. You pay way less. Switch your cell phone service. Takes 10 minutes. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. #250, say Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
Get the cure for rhinos. Weekdays with the Jesse Kelly Show.
Hi, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. On this week's episode of Math and Magic, I'm sitting down with the one and only Bobby Bones. We're exploring the power of audio.
The word on the street then was, he's too country for pop. But then once I got to country, it was, he's too pop for country. So I kind of never really had a place to fit in, but that's exactly how and why I fit. I just embraced that. Like, yeah, I don't fit into one specific hole. I think that is what endeared me to listeners. That's why I'm here now, because I talk to people that grew up like me, have sensibilities like me, and have loyalties like me.
Listen to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency.
Did you make a mistake in sending arms to Tehran, sir?
No.
It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
And I'm not taking any more questions. In just a second, I'm going to ask Attorney General.
I'm Leon Neyfakh, co-creator of Slow Burn. In my podcast, Fiasco, Iran-Contra, you'll hear all the unbelievable details of a scandal that captivated the nation nearly 40 years ago, but which few of us still remember today.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Monday. Don't forget to send us an email, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Before I get back to the stories, let's do some of those emails. Jesse, screw inflation. I just got a job as a ranch hand because two Mexicans suddenly vanished, leaving open positions for Americans. Inflation might be bad, but being able to land a steady job for 5 years is worth the hike. Thanks, Uncle Trump, this guy says. I'll tell you this anecdotally, and I may have mentioned this last week or the week before, but it's 100% true. And I realize that the way I said it offended some people last time, so I'll try to make sure I say it the exact same way, if not worse, this time. Remember, if you're offended, I don't care. It means nothing to me at all. We get food delivered here to the studio about once a day. Just kind of the way our schedule works, I like to try to buy lunch. Me, Chris, Corey, we get some lunch, get something to eat on every day, okay? So we have a delivery driver a day, about 5 days a week. For as long as I can remember, Chris, Corey, back me up on this, every single delivery driver was Latino or Latina, every single one, right? Virtually everyone. For about the last month, I haven't had a single one of those. Not one. Not one of those. Now, that's one anecdote, right? But that's a lot of food delivery already, and it's a stark difference. And it's harder to find one, whereas a restaurant that used to take 40 minutes to deliver is now an hour, and it's harder to find one. I know when I was in New York City, last time I was in New York City, I was talking with this guy. He kind of knew the city. I was going over some things with him for the show, but he knew the city really well. And I was talking about things about the state of the city. And this is before Trump took office. This was under Biden. He said, all these people you see them laying around, because they have all the illegals all over the daggone place, just everywhere down there. He said, most of them, they're delivery drivers. for a pizza place or DoorDash or Grubhub or any one of the Uber Eats, any one of the various delivery driving apps. He said it's very, very easy for an illegal to get a job as a delivery driver. Now, what's my point in all this? Let's say my stories, which may not be reflective of the national narrative, but my story, let's say it's pretty indicative of what's going on in all 50 states, and I bet it is. I bet you've noticed the same thing in your life. Well, isn't that wonderful that Americans have access to these jobs now? Driving around for a living, whether you drive Uber or Uber Eats or whatever it is, that's good, honest work. Look, even truck drivers, right? Driving for a living to and fro, that's taxing, honest work. Retired Americans will do this sometimes out of boredom. Sometimes they need it. Social Security isn't enough. Maybe you didn't retire enough. Helps you make ends meet. I knew one guy who did it, and he did it for 10 years and saved every single penny. He had a good job. They could pay the bills, but he didn't have anything extra. He did it for 10 years and saved every single penny, drove professionally, I mean, to put his daughter through college, and did it. I think he got 3 of the 4 years, but 3 years in college, gone. These are good, solid jobs and not an ounce of embarrassment in them. That's awesome for entry-level Americans. Minimum wage jobs out there, whatever those minimum wage jobs happen to be. Cleaning hotel rooms. You know the kind of life I had. My sister Mickey, I think that was her first job. First or second job, she was a hotel maid. I understand it's not glorious that as a little girl you're not going to wake up dreaming of being one. I get that. But that's dang fine work. It's steady work. It's a steady paycheck. Help make ends meet. That should be an American's job. An American's job. And that kind of thing is already starting is wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. And along those lines, this you heard about the CBP1 app. It was famous. We talked about it during the show when Joe Biden was president. Democrats are so inhumanly evil, they actually created an app to allow illegals to come into the country easier. That's for real. They did that. The Trump administration, they're updating the app to tell illegals to get out. How great is that? Hey, deport by this date. If you'd like to announce your intention to depart, you can do it by the app, by this date. You ever want a chance to come back, do it by this date. And this comes to the mass deportation thing that you keep emailing about. You're frustrated, and I'm frustrated too. And this is what I warned you about many, many times. You remember many, 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 many times that mass deportation is politically very, very difficult and very dangerous. And it's just hard to find a presidential administration willing to give up the political capital to do it. And you've seen, you know, they keep rounding up 500 people here and 700 there. And they just did it in Houston, big ICE raids. And these are awesome. These are awesome. What they're doing is awesome. But you can do the math. I can do the math. These numbers don't add up to 20 million that Biden brought in. They don't add up to 10 million. They don't add up to anything close to that. At this pace, we'll be lucky to get to a million. And as I said, politicians fear the system still. The system still has incredible power. And they fear that video, that picture that's going to stop the whole thing. They know propagandists like Margaret Brennan are out
there. Have you seen these Texas facilities where children are being held with their parents? Are you comfortable with it personally?
We've got detention facilities across the country, and there are specific ones that are built specifically for families if they are detained. But remember, everybody has an option. They have an option to be here legally or illegally, and they can self-deport as well. They can choose to go home on their own and keep their families united. Well, the kids do have a choice. If they have parents, they make a choice to keep their families together if they want to or not. That's a choice that they made as a family.
But when it comes to reviving the policy of separating families from their children at the border.
I don't know we're actually reviving it.
Is that's
that,
what I'm going to ask
President
you.
Biden didn't follow
you
the
won't.
Law.
You hear the line of questioning. The Trump administration fears what will happen
if they start actually kicking in doors. And instead of, look, it's easy to sell the deportation of the mass rapist MS-13 guy with tattoos on his face. It's easy to put his face on the TV and sell it on the nightly news. Hey, look at this scumbag we deported. It's harder to sell the family of six that got rounded up and sent back to El Salvador. That doesn't land the same way with the American public. And all this comes back to many things, but what I've said a bunch of times, only a reformed Democrat Party can save the country. As long as the Democrat Party remains as it is, the enemy of America, trying to burn down America, then we can't survive long term, because they can destroy faster than we can rebuild. They can import faster than anybody can deport. That's a fact. We'll do some more emails. I'm going to touch on this thing in Syria real quick before we check out of here. Before we do any of that, I want to check in on you and the pain you exist, you live with every day. Do you? Is it every day? Every day that knee hurts and you're rubbing it. Your foot. Friggin' foot problems suck, don't they? Remember when I got that stress fracture that I heroically toughed out? But it was brutal. Your shoulder hurts. It sucks. You can't do stuff. I don't golf anymore. You know, Relief Factor might reintroduce you to all the things you used to love to do. Do you wince getting out of bed thinking about the day of construction you have ahead of you? Relief Factor is 100% drug-free. It's a supplement. You take it every single day. It has this unique formula of natural ingredients that'll help your body fight that inflammation. It'll build up in your system. The longer you take it, the better it works. Try it for 3 weeks and tell me how you feel. Email me. I want to know. 1-800-4-RELIEF or go to relieffactor.com. We'll be back.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Monday. It's been amazing. We will, of course, be back tomorrow to do all this. Yeah, I think I'm going to get you part two of the history story tomorrow. I think I will, Chris. No promises. I think I will. If not, it'll be Wednesday at the latest. Okay, so you can hold me to that. I wanted to touch on a couple of things before we get to headlines and some other stuff. First, what's happening in Syria? It's awful. It's always been awful. What's been happening in that country and a lot of places around the world has been awful for the longest time. It, one, makes me appreciate very much being an American. I understand we're far, far from perfect. Lord knows our government is far from perfect. Our political system is far from perfect. But there are people, lots of them around the world, Syria, all over the place, in Africa, just everywhere, South America, you see this. They live with the constant threat of revolution and rebellion and civil war and the 1,000-person town you live in now might very well be massacred by barbarians tomorrow. And the history of Syria is long and complicated, and it looks like yet another foreign policy win. I'm being as sarcastic as possible for the United States of America. Bashar al-Assad, he was the man, the dictator, very much a brutal, horrible man, dictator who was in charge of Syria. And people feel like they have to talk lovingly about him now. I'm not going to sing the praises of any dictator. Assad gassed his own people. Assad famously tortured, starved, murdered his own people. He's a dictator, a strongman dictator in every sense of the word. But this is when the buts come in. But there are parts of the world where it takes a guy like that to rule over the disaster that is that area. How'd Iraq do after the strongman was toppled by us? Didn't work out that well, did it? And I'm no Saddam Hussein, fam. I've actually personally witnessed with my eyes one of the torture rooms he used. I'm not a Saddam Hussein fan. Iraq was better off with him. They were. How's Libya since we got rid of that dirtball Gaddafi? Got rid of him, took care of things there, right?
Yeah. Ooh, except for the open slave markets where you can go buy one like it's a used car. What, Chris? Chris, stop it. Chris sarcastically said they just want democracy. And Syria, too. And I'm not going to put all this on us. I can't blame America every time something goes wrong in a foreign land. But yes, we armed and backed the rebels there because Assad, the head of Syria, was aligning himself with the Russians. And all of American foreign policy seems to be to counter Russia. Whatever Russia's doing, we're trying to counter what Russia's doing. And we felt that since Assad was in Russia's pocket, we had to counter Assad and arm the rebels. You know, you can still look at pictures to this day. Lindsey Graham and John McCain, arm the rebels, arm the rebels. Sorry, that's more what it sounded like. And after a long time and a lot of fighting, the rebels won. Woo-hoo! Celebrated everywhere. That's awesome. And now, I hope you haven't been watching the videos of it, but communities, Christian communities in Syria are being slaughtered. Bodies, stacks of bodies. It's a nightmare. It's awful. It's a freaking nightmare. Keep those people, keep the region itself in your prayers. These people are now flocking to Russian bases to avoid being massacred. You've got the same old Islamist videos you've seen online a million times. Look, they look just like the October 7th videos with pickup trucks full of slaughtered people and a bunch of guys shooting AKs in the air. It's bad. It's really bad. Keep those people in your prayers. And count. Remember to count your blessings. Everything doesn't have to be a bad lesson. Count your blessings. As tough as it is here, it's not that. Right? It's not that. Speaking of counting your blessings, when's the last time you called your parents? Just take it from me. When you lose one, you'll regret that day you skipped that call. So call your parents. Probably bring this up from time to time. And don't email me saying, I wish I could. It obviously doesn't apply if your parents are dead. Call your parents. All right? And Legacy Box. I don't want you to think of Legacy Box like a pain in the rear end. I don't want to have to throw all my VHS tapes and my home movies and my hard pictures in a box, Jesse. That sounds like a pain. I want you to think about it like a labor of love. That's how you preserve those home movies with your dad at the beach. That's how they're right there and they're fading every day. Humidity, time is killing those pictures every single day. The tapes will be gone soon. It might be tonight. A flood, fire, you're done. See ya. Never get to look at that picture of Grandpa again. You know what it's like to sit and have to imagine what your dad's voice sounds like? It's people tell these terrible stories having lost it all. Let Legacy Box preserve that stuff for you forever. That's what Legacy Box is. It takes those pictures, the hard pictures, and it makes them forever. The camcorder tapes, the VHS tapes forever from an American company. American jobs. You're sending it to Tennessee, not China. Family company, half off right now. LegacyBox.com/Jesse. LegacyBox.com/Jesse. Trust me, you will want it. Hey, Jesse, I'm watching the Pacific War in color. Real footage of Pearl Harbor and island hopping. I understand why General Mack's not your favorite. The Battle of Saipan. I never knew the Army was involved in the Pacific. The Army was very involved in the Pacific War. And we Marines, understandably, are a cocky bunch. And we certainly don't like to hand out credit to the United States Army. But the United States Army fought like lions in the Pacific. And generally, the American public kind of thinks that was really the Marines' war. The Army fought in World War II, but the Marines fought in the Pacific. And yes, the Marines fought in the Pacific. But the Army, they really had some incredible units, and they spilled a lot of blood in the Pacific, a lot of blood in the Pacific, and they deserve all the credit in the world.
And now...
here's a headline.
By, go, you know the thing.
Headlines we didn't get to.
Air India flight forced to return to the U.S. after passengers clogged 10 of the 12 onboard toilets. Maybe they bought blocks of cheese too. Residents evacuated as Guatemalan volcano spews lava and rocks. You know how I'm afraid of helicopters? I don't know about afraid. I just don't like them. I don't want to be on them. I've never enjoyed being on them. I still have this really bizarre desire to fly in a helicopter over the top of an active volcano. I want to look down in it. And I know what it's going to be. It's going to be a bunch of steam and smoke and whatnot. I want to look down in it. I want to gaze into the hellfires. I want to see them. Anyway, I ended up going off on that, and I probably shouldn't have. So I guess we're going to have to do this again tomorrow. That's all.
Hi, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia.
On this week's episode of Math and Magic, I'm sitting down with the one and only Bobby Bones. We're exploring the power of audio.
Yeah, I don't fit into one specific hole. I think that is what endeared me to listeners. That's why I'm here now, because I talk to people that grew up like me, have sensibilities like me, and have loyalties like me.
Listen to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency. It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to an iHeart podcast.